Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Full Press NHL podcast. I'm your host, Jim Berenger, back alongside Fox AM FM NHL analyst Bruce Zeman. He's a new member here at Full Press NHL. You can find this podcast, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Bruce, welcome back to another edition, buddy.
Jim, thank you again for having me on the program. The playoffs are coming. It's an exciting time if you like hockey.
It is an exciting time if you love hockey. And I'm going to quote Godfather 3, even though it's not really a great movie. But a lot of people know I'm a movie guy. Just when I thought they were out, they pulled me back in. And I'm talking about the Florida Panthers. I'm talking about the Calgary Flames. I'm talking about the Pittsburgh Penguins. And I'm talking about the Nashville Predators. And I know I'm jumping over the board here, but the wild card races in Eastern and Western Conference have been really good this year. And this is exactly what Gary Bettman, the NHL commissioner, wanted.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, we had thought that some of those teams were out of it. I mean, you look at Calgary, who had a whole exodus of players leave at the end of last year. You're talking about Florida that a lot of us had written off for dead. They've both played well. I mean, Nashville, who was kind of a seller at the deadline, now back in it. It's an exciting time. But, you know, Jimmy, that's why we play these games.
This is exactly why we play these games. Exactly, Bruce. This is exactly why we do it. You think about it, right? We'll start in the Western first, because I think this is kind of more interesting, because the Winnipeg Jets had chances and still have chances to shut the door on both of these teams. I mean, you think about it. Seattle took 3 or 4 points in the big weekend we were talking about on our last episode. That was a big weekend for Nashville. They didn't really get it done. But here they go. They go into Boston, they get a big victory, but Winnipeg loses. And then they lose to San Jose, and their coach is not happy with their play. Kyle Connor, Pierre-Luc Dubois, Blake Wheeler, guys like that are not stepping up and carrying this team. And as you mentioned, they're the Calgary Flames right there still after we thought several numerous bad losses to bad teams. And yet here they are, two games in a row they've won. Jacob Markstrom turned it around, maybe. Can we really believe him? I don't know. But I think the Winnipeg Jets, more than anything, are giving this away. Then teams are taking it from them.
Jim, there's one terminology phrase that I use all the time in hockey, and I think you've probably heard this before. The longer you let certain teams stick around, the more likely they are to come and take a playoff spot from you. The longer you let any of those teams linger and put them in a position to hop in there and possibly take that playoff spot, you're playing with fire there. I think you're 100% correct. Winnipeg has been such a tough team to watch and analyze, because just when you think they're going to, you know, put the foot on the gas and do something, they have a couple of just terrible losses. And on the flip side of the coin, you look at Calgary, who a lot of people said they are just not going to do it after losing some of those players. You're right. Markstrom has turned around. He's looked like a different player the last couple of games. So, man, it's going to be an exciting stretch run as we head towards the playoffs.
It really is. I mean, look, Jacob Markstrom had to be Calgary's best player, and he has. I mean, he won that game against LA the other night. What a great game that was, if you didn't get to check it out. But Calgary, big victory against the LA Kings. Now you got to go beat Vancouver on Friday if you're Calgary. You have to. That's a must win. I don't really want to hear about it. Oh, yeah, you can afford to lose. No. Vancouver's a good team, but Calgary, that's a game you want to get in the playoffs. That's a game that you need to win. I've said that loss against the Philadelphia Flyers for the Panthers, keep them out of the playoffs. I think it still might if they don't get their acts together. But Winnipeg, to me, I think, you know, Rick Bowness has done such a great job. You know, he takes the C off of Blake Wheeler. He's called out a lot of his players. But I think the big cloud around that team, Pierre-Luc Dubois, what is his future there? Does he go to Montreal? I think that's been hanging over this team. And you could see maybe finally, even though they had some nice additions, adding Niederreiter, Nemestikov at the deadline, I think this whole Pierre-Luc Dubois saga, I think, is really coming to a head right now as they try to finish out the season.
We talked on a previous podcast about how I thought that it was a distraction. And here's the thing. It's a distraction for a number of reasons. First of all, you have to wonder whether or not the player wants to be there. Now, I'm not saying that he does or he doesn't, but I mean, you wonder what the mindset is and if that's, you know, permeating the locker room. I mean, as you mentioned, there has been some really bad losses when they could have made some ground. And you know, I think, and it's been reported in a couple of other, you know, hockey periodicals and podcasts and things on the internet, you know, Dubois has been saying and doing all the right things. He's filled in a couple of positions. But, I mean, let's be honest, Jimmy, everybody knows that he wants to play for the Montreal Canadiens. I mean, that's out there. That doesn't give the Winnipeg GM any leverage. You know, I saw a report this morning that it said that they think it's 95% chance that he's going to play for Montreal or he's gone. Boy, that doesn't leave you a lot of leverage to do anything. And, you know, Rick Bowness is doing everything he can to get him to stay there. I saw something this morning that they think that if Winnipeg has a good playoff run, that maybe he'll stick around. I hate to tell you, or I hate to tell Winnipeg fans, I think he's gone.
I really do think he's gone. I agree with that. I think he's gone. I do believe that regardless of what they do, I think he's gone. They have to get in the playoffs first and foremost. And right now, difficult behind that. You have a chance to put teams away or at least maintain your lead, and you don't do it, especially against the San Jose Sharks, who are having an awful year, and you lose there. Just a lot of uncharacteristic mistakes. Team just not stepping up. Again, they had such a great start to the season. They were there in the, you know, the central top three for a long time. But now the wheels have come off. And like you said, give credit to Calgary. You know, obviously we know Mangiapane's not 35 goal scorer anymore. You know, we know Huberto, what he is, Uyghur, but the guys, Daryl Sutter has this team built for the playoffs. And if they can get in, I think they're going to give somebody trouble. And then there's Nashville. I mean, give a shout out to everybody down there. You know, the tragedy that happened, they rallied, they beat Boston. Sorrow stays on his head, and they're still in it. I mean, you think about it, you got three teams fighting for one spot in the Western Conference. I mean, it just comes down to who wants it more.
Well, I think you're right, too. I mean, Calgary with Sutter is built for the playoffs. And, you know, of course, you want to finish as high as possible. But once you get into the dance, I mean, everybody is essentially equal other than the, you know, the playoff settings and the matchups. You know, we're going to have an exciting last 2 weeks of the season to see who's able to do what. But I think, you know, for the teams that don't make it into the playoff dance, I think there's going to be some serious, and there should be some serious soul searching, because, you know, with Winnipeg, what is going on in that locker room or in that, what's going on? I mean, they've got to figure that out. They took the C away from Wheeler, but nothing's really happened as a result of that. I mean, you haven't really had any definitive, you know, surge. In fact, it's been more like all over the place. So is somebody going to step up? And if they don't make the playoffs, boy, that's got to be addressed by the upper management.
Yeah, I think it does. And I think the whole Dubois situation, if he leaves, did that mean Scheifele leaves? What about Hellebuyck? I think there's a lot of players on that list that, you know, maybe there's a big shakeup in Winnipeg this offseason if Dubois leaves, because, you know, a lot of guys are tied to him offensively. And then again, if Calgary doesn't make the playoffs, does Daryl Sutter go? What changes do they make? I think, you know, I think Nashville are what they are, is what they are. You know, they sold. They're making a nice run. If they don't make it, everybody's like, eh, they made a nice run. They just couldn't close the door. But I think it's kind of be expected that they may not make it. But you never know. You never know how teams finish and everything. But again, the West is always the wild, wild West. Will Smith sang a song like that back in the late 90s. And it really is. It really feels like the wild, wild West.
Yeah, I mean, I think the team coming out of the West is going to have a little bit of an advantage, because I think the war, it is going to be a war. The team that comes out of the East, there are going to be some just crazy playoff series. It's going to be some very physical playoff series. You never know what kind of injuries you're going to have. I mean, I'm not saying that it's going to be any easier in the West, but I really do believe that the Eastern Conference is going to run through Boston. I mean, they should come out of the East. We don't know if they will. Being Devils fans, I think that we want New Jersey to come out of the East. But I think in terms of the intensity of playoff hockey, I think the team that comes out of the West is definitely going to have an advantage in terms of just not being as banged up.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, look, you look at the conferences and you look at the divisions in the West. I mean, Colorado's charging. They're trying to make it a shot for the division title in the Central. Minnesota's playing well. There's going to be conversations in Minnesota, and we can have those conversations on another podcast. But, you know, Gustafson or Marc-Andre Fleury, who's going to start? Are they trying to make amends for what happened last year with Talbot and Fleury? I think the dynamic there is a little bit better. You know, LA, are they going to figure out a way to get top seed? What about Edmonton and their goaltending situation? I think, like I said before, I think it's three teams for one spot. I think Seattle's pretty much locked up in that first wild card spot in the West. And from there, we're going to see what happens, how the seeding happens. But to me, I think don't write off the defending champions right now.
No, and again, you want to be playing well going towards the end of the season. You know, they had some trouble with injuries and everything in the middle part of the season, and now things are starting to come together. I think Colorado could be, no pun intended, kind of a wild card as the playoffs get started, because as you know, Jim, anything can happen come playoff time.
Absolutely, anything can happen, and we're in conversation with the newest member of Full Press NHL as well as Fox media analyst Bruce Zeman here on the podcast today, talking Stanley Cup playoffs and more, as we always do. Just a fun time. Switching gears to the Eastern Conference. The Islanders are in the Kraken position. I think the Islanders picked up a huge win against the Washington Capitals, a nemesis, getting the shootout. I think the Islanders are going to give some teams trouble because they're built like for playoff hockey, what Lou's done there. And, you know, Ilya Sorokin, you have a guy like that, they're going to be in any game. But you got the Penguins, you got the Panthers. You know, those two teams are jockeying back and forth. Neither team's really been able to close the door on the other. And Florida's back in it after a big win against Toronto. Alex Lyon stands on his head. You know, we're going to see what happens here because, you know, it doesn't matter. I don't know if either Pittsburgh or Florida gets in. I don't know if those two teams are going far. Despite what Pittsburgh has with Sidney Crosby and Malkin, both teams have goaltending issues and defensive issues that might sink them in the first round.
Yeah, they absolutely do. And I want to get back to a second for what you said about the Islanders. You and I were talking the other night. We were texting back and forth. The Devils with a terrible effort against the Islanders. That 5-1 was an awful game to watch. It was hard to watch. They did not play well. And again, that's what lose teams do going into the playoffs. They play games like that. It wasn't necessarily a beautiful game, but you know, they put up 5 on the Devils. And you know, I think you'll agree with me. The Devils did not play well in that game. And you know, I was looking at, and, you know, stats can be misleading, right? The Devils are 4-4-2 in their last 10, but they're 2-6 in their last 8. And that to me is a little concerning.
That's definitely concerning for a Devils team that's made the playoffs. They haven't really looked great since they've clinched the playoff spot. And, you know, obviously they only played one game since then. And they have a big game against the Rangers Thursday night. And that they're going to find out what playoff hockey is going to be about, because that could determine who has home ice in the first round of the playoffs. Second place in the Metro Division is on the line. But like you said, the Islanders with Sorokin, the way they've been playing, they're getting it done. Even when Horvat slowed down a little bit, no Matt Barzal. You know, Florida and Pittsburgh are interesting teams. I know Buffalo's right there, but I feel like they're out of it. Ottawa's out of it. You know, you can never say never, but both teams would have to go on miraculous runs just to get in. You know, Pittsburgh's got to shut the door. They had a bad loss to Detroit the other night. Florida picks up a nice win. I think it's going to come down to the final weeks of the season for both of those teams, because I feel like with Seattle, I think the Islanders are sitting in a good spot right now.
I think you're right. I think it is going to come, and it may come down to the final games, you know, and I think it may come down to the final games in terms of the seedings. You mentioned home ice advantage. I think, you know, for the Devils, this is kind of an interesting one. They've been much better on the road. I believe 6 or 7 more wins on the road than at home. And they're going to have to get that straightened out. That's something that they're going to have to right the ship in terms of, you know, you need to play good at home. It's almost kind of a given that you play well at home, and they haven't played bad. I mean, look at their record. They've got a good record, but you know, I think they've got 27 wins on the road and 20 at home. They're going to have to play better, you know, at home come playoff time. But boy, the next couple of weeks in terms of who the Devils play. And because remember, there are some teams that have nothing to play with, or nothing to play for rather. And then you have some that are, you know, playing just to get in. And the game with the Rangers on Thursday, I think that's going to be a war.
That's going to be a war. It's going to be playoff hockey. The Devils have to really step their game up. It's gone either way both times these teams played. You know, Shesterkin's on fire. You know, we'll see what Vanecek can do. I think the Devils, the loss of Nate Bastian has really hurt this team on that fourth line because they were clicking with Miles Wood and McLeod. That was just a physical, skilled line that could change the tempo. Hughes is starting to get it together again, which is good. Their combinations. But the Devils, you know, they're finding out what playoff hockey is like right now. And they're going to have to figure out a way to change their gear because we know Tampa can do it. You know, look, Tampa, everybody's like, ah, Tampa, look, they lost again. You know, but and then they go into Carolina and just turn it up like they always do. So it's going to be very, very interesting. But New Jersey, they need to turn some things around. They have to definitely play good going into the playoffs, because if they end the season on a sour note, it might affect them going in the first round.
Well, I think you're right. And also, you know, there's some players that I think that the Devils brought in to do some stuff in the playoff. Andre Palat is one of them. I think Timo Meier is going to have to. I think there's a couple of players that really need to step up their game in this last couple of weeks. I'm not an analyst that believes in resting star players, because I think when you do that, I think it leads to bad habits. There's a lot of people that don't agree with me with that. But, you know, everybody has a chance to win come playoff time. And, you know, the Devils are not really a secret anymore. People are gunning for them. But, you know, playoff hockey is a lot different than it is during the regular season. It's a lot more tight checking. It's a lot more physical. And I think some of those players, like a Miles Wood, a Bastian, Palat, Haula, I think some of those players are going to be called upon to play a little bit more physical come playoff time, especially. I mean, can you imagine what it would be like playing the Rangers in the first round? What a tough series that would be for whoever wins.
Yeah, whoever wins that series is going to take on a Carolina team or maybe an Islander. Who knows? We really don't know. But the Rangers-Devils series is going to be a war. 6-7 games easily. Teams don't like each other. We've seen their playoff, you know, wars before. It's just whoever wins this series usually expends so much energy to beat the other, to beat their rival. They have nothing left in the next round.
Well, we've seen that happen. It's happened before. And I think going into that series, I wouldn't even want to pick that series right now, because I think both teams have done so many good things this year. And even as a Devils fan, you've got to recognize what the Rangers have done. Their goaltending, bringing in Patrick Kane and Tarasenko. I mean, they have made some moves that have really made them a contender. They've had a good year. They've got some really good players, and so do the Devils. And so, boy, you know, that could come down to a series of mistakes, a couple of hot goaltenders. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? I mean, look, I think all the pressure is on the Rangers in that series just because of the guys that they brought in, because New Jersey's not expected to be there. So the Devils could play a little bit more loose, less expectations, but they're going to want to win. They're here to win. We've heard the mindset. They're here to win. New Jersey's here to win in the playoffs. And that's the attitude you want, because you want the best teams there. And, you know, you don't want this. Look, everybody's talking about expansion and the playoffs and all this stuff. But if you look at these standings, do you really want Ottawa or Buffalo making it? And you look at the West, St. Louis got a minus 30 goal differential. Like, they're really not a playoff caliber team. I like the fact you can argue the format, whatever. 16 best teams are making the playoffs. You look at the goal differential. You look how they're playing. You can't have these wild card play-in series, because to me, those teams just don't deserve to be in there.
Well, I think part of the reason that expansion is being discussed at all, first of all, is money. I mean, people need to remember that this, more than anything, is a business. Okay, that's first and foremost. It's making money. That's what the league cares about more than anything else, is making money. And by adding more teams to the playoff mix, you're also going to be developing more divisional and regional rivalries. I mean, we talked about this in the last podcast. I mean, imagine you put a team back in Hartford, okay? I'm not sure that they'll do that, but let's just say you put a team in Hartford. You immediately have an intense rivalry with the Buffalo Sabres, the Montreal Canadiens, the Boston Bruins, which would be fantastic. You know, you put a team in Quebec, you've got the rivalry with the Canadiens and the Jets and the Senators. And so, you know, that would certainly generate interest. But, you know, in terms of the hockey, I think maybe the wild card teams, well, I think they did that to add revenue. I don't know if they did it to aid the game. I think they did it to add revenue and, you know, to give something, you know, like a team, you know, San Jose is not a good example, but, you know, a team that's on the bubble, you know, either the Panthers or Penguins, or, you know, pick a team in the West, you know, to give their to give the fans something to look forward to and make sure they still have seats in the arenas come this time of year. I mean, in terms of teams that, you know, I could really care less. I mean, do you care if Arizona makes the playoffs? Because I know I don't.
No, I don't.
And I don't think most fans either. And not dissing the Arizona Coyotes, but I mean, that experiment has not worked. It just hasn't. They're playing in a 5,000 seat arena, I think it is now, or something like that, until they get that straightened out. I mean, that team should be in Quebec.
They should be in Quebec, and it would be good for the league if it was back there. And we're going to see what happens when it comes to expansion and where they go or relocation. But, you know, the playoffs, like you said, is a different time. It's a different animal. These games down the stretch, especially for the Devils, matter. Their play has not been great. We discussed it. You know, they have to start turning their gears to the next level for the playoffs, because it's all well and good. Great, you made it. Now what are you going to do? Because
can I throw something in here? Let me add something in here. And I think you know where I'm going with this, because this is something I've said dozens of times when I've been on with you. All right? You're going into the playoffs. You have essentially, for the most part, an untested team. You know, a lot of these great players, Nico and Jack, they haven't been in the playoffs before. They've never experienced playoff hockey. It's a whole different animal. What a difference it would be if you had Scott Stevens on that bench.
I'm telling you right now, I totally agree with you. I think you get Stevens, Eliash, the guys that have won cups, get them in the room, get them on the bench, get them around these guys, because they understand what it takes to win in the playoffs, especially a guy like Stevens who put the Devils on his back, understanding the time it takes to make the timely hit, the change momentum. You know, Stevens, you know, he was there. He's been around this team and he knows what it takes to win a Stanley Cup multiple times. Eliash too, big time goals. You know, Jesper Bratt, Nico Hischier, they have 5 games of playoff experience. That's it. Like, that's not going to cut it. They lost in 5 games to Tampa in 2018. David Severson was on that team too, and I think Miles Wood too. That's it. That's all the playoff they experience those players have. Yeah, they brought in guys like Andre Palat and Dougie Hamilton and guys like that. Those are the guys that are going to have to create the space for the Jack Hughes's, the Nico Hischier's, the guys like that to step up in the playoffs.
Well, you're right. And again, you know, it's funny because we've given credit, I think, you know, yes, we're fans, but I, you know, as analysts, you have to analyze the game, right? And yeah. I think we've given the Devils upper management a lot of credit because they've done a lot of good things this year. They really have with the additions. And I mean, look at their record. They've had a great year, but here's the thing. There are not many organizations in this league that have one of the greatest defensemen to ever play the game that you could somehow make amends with, bring him in, and automatically have credit in the locker room because of what he's brought in. I think they're doing themselves a disservice by not reaching out to him. I mean, I love Dougie Hamilton. I think he's a fantastic player. But if we're being honest here, he's not Scott Stevens.
No, he's not. And his defensive game has not been the greatest lately. Neither is Damon Severson's. Not a lot of guys have been playing great. You know, Jack's starting to turn it around. But that's, again, details of the game. We know when this team loses, it's bad turnovers, bad puck possession, running around in your own zone, giving up late period goals that change games. That's what's going to be in the playoffs. It's going to be tight checking, low scoring games. It's 1-1 in the second, 2 minutes left. You can't give up a goal like you did against the Islanders. That's just going to be a backbreaker.
You can't give a goal like that. But we talked a few minutes ago, or I spoke a few minutes ago, about how expansion has to do with money. Bringing a player like Scott Stevens back into the organization is a hockey decision. And you need both types of components to win the Stanley Cup. And that is a resource that I think, to me anyway, and who knows what happened? Who knows what you'd have to do to make amends or to make him whole and everything like that. But I just think, man, if you're serious about bringing some more hardware to New Jersey, I think you have to get that guy behind the bench somehow, or an upper management with Marty, or you just have to. I don't know how you do that, but you just have to make it happen somehow.
He's got to be back in the fold. He has to. He has to be back in the fold with New Jersey. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He has to be back in the fold. with the Devils and, you know, pursue and help this team grow. Speaking of, you know, obviously, you know, we're focusing on the playoffs, but there's a lot of things that could happen this offseason, especially with New Jersey. Obviously, the big thing is Jesper Brad and Timo Meier and their contract extensions. But they also have some players that, you know, do we expect back, like a Damon Severson? What about Miles Wood? And again, the big question mark is Mackenzie Blackwood, because they sent Schmid back down to Utica. You know, Blackwood looked pretty good, but is he really part of their future? That's going to be the big question mark.
And again, I think there's a lot of debate about that. He's been injury prone, if we're being honest. He's had times where he's looked really, really good, and then he's had times where he hasn't looked really, really good. He's made some really good hockey decisions, and he's made some not so good hockey decisions. But I mean, that's one of those internal decisions, and who knows, Jimmy? Who knows how much input he has? But I mean, to me, I think that's a conversation that you probably bring Martin Brodeur in on to get his thoughts on this. I mean, maybe he's involved in that decision. I'm not sure. But boy, that's something that I think that's, to me anyway, that's one of the elephants in the room for this team this season. I think that you've got to figure that out.
Yeah, I agree. I think you have to figure that out. I mean, look, they brought him back. He played. Schmid went down. People were shocked by it because Akira Schmid had been playing well. This might be the tandem the Devils roll come the playoffs with Vanecek and Blackwood. You know, Vanecek's got to pick his game up. He hasn't played great lately. It may be the fact that this is a, you know, how do I word this correctly? He hasn't seen this much hockey before. And he doesn't have the playoff experience. But again, a lot of it has to do with the team in front of him too, that they haven't been playing well. And I think everybody needs to pick their game up.
Yeah, and I was one of the people that was actually shocked that they sent Schmid down. I looked at this and I said maybe this is their last chance to see what he's going to do. I would hate to have their season be decided by some poor play, but you got to find out what the guy is going to be able to do. And I do think, and I said this to you before on this show, I think if he has a poor end of the season, I think if he has a poor playoffs, I think they move him this offseason. That's just, I haven't heard that, but I'm just, I mean, that's my thoughts. If he has a poor playoff, or, you know, he goes 0-2 with a 3.5 goals against, I don't know how you keep Schmid or even Nico Dawes for that matter, how you don't give one of those players a shot.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that Blackwood's time in New Jersey is done. I think it's coming to an end, regardless of what happens, because I think Schmid has shown he can be the backup. Nico Dawes is there as well. So this might be a showcase at this point. Again, I haven't heard anything either, but this could be a showcase for some teams come the offseason who are looking for goaltending around the league.
And he's got to be able to stay healthy. That's another big thing. I mean, you know, inconsistency and some, you know, bad goals you can fix. But if you're not in the lineup a lot because you're hurting, he's had a lot of injuries. You know, we'll see what happens because, you know, things happen in the playoffs. I mean, they're going to get, you know, they're going to banged around a bit.
Yeah, their goalies get pushed around, players get pushed around, and this team is not that physical. And again, that would be another element that Scott Stevens would bring to the table for this team, especially because playoff hockey is so physical that it would be great to have a guy like that around the team to just pick his brain. And I think that's what they need to do. Get more guys in there so those players can understand what it's like to be in that environment and take your game to the next level. And then when adversity strikes, don't lay down. We saw it so many times in the past. Yeah, guys were talking on the bench about the goal that happened. But guess what? Next shift, they were right back out there and they would be able to tie the game, overcome it. And that's what you got to learn from.
You have to learn from that. And the other thing with Stevens is he added an entire dimension to the game. And other players in interviews have said that they would not go on that side of the ice because they knew he was there. That totally changes a game when you have one of your, you know, one of your offensive options taken away because you don't want to get drilled. I mean, we don't have anybody on the team that hits like that, but he could, you know, impart his knowledge and positioning and playoff mentality and just, just the way he approached things. I mean, he was a great captain. He wasn't just a great player. He was a great captain. And, you know, I think that his knowledge could help everyone in that locker room, everyone.
I agree with that 100%. And you bring up guys that change the game and, you know, have a different style, you know, brings us to the probably the best player in the world right now. Guy's going to win all the hardware this year, Connor McDavid, over 100-point season, 140-point season, 10th player ever to do it, first since 96 in Mario. You know, the big talk was the World Baseball Classic. Everybody, hey, did you see Ohtani and Trout? You know, I'm not really into it, but I understood where it was coming from. And then McDavid, a bunch of others now have been speaking out about the NHL, talking about best-on-best tournament. We haven't seen Connor McDavid on an international stage since 2015, where he donned the Team Canada World Junior sweater. You know, he was on that makeshift Team North America thing in 2016. It is time for hockey to have a best-on-best tournament. I'm sorry, it is.
Well, you know, again, I think the only thing that would prevent that from happening is probably the financing. I mean, there's a lot that you have to work out with the NHLPA, and you have to find a way to make that happen, the timing and everything. But, I mean, there's really no reason not to do it. I mean, you know, there's been some talk, and we were talking about this the other day. You know, you look at some of the junior tournaments and everything. You know, are some of these tournaments the best now with Russia being excluded from a lot of them? I mean, there'd be a lot to figure out, but I think you're right. That would be awesome to see. I mean, it would be awesome for the fans and for the game.
Well, it'll grow the game. It'll get people talking. Hey, you see McKinnon. You got McDavid, Crosby all playing together. Got Matthews. You got Eichel. You got Kane. Maybe one last goal for Team USA. And it just brings more eyeballs to your product because that's when people watch it. You have best-on-best players. And I understand Russia not being there. Look, they see it with the World Juniors. But that gives some another nation to step up and step to the plate. And we saw what Czechia has done. Getting back to, you know, a gold medal game. Maybe somebody else on the world stage steps up because Russia's not there. I mean, obviously, again, finances, logistics, when is it going to be played, dealing with the other ice hockey federations around the world. But when the top players in the world are clamoring for it, it's time to put the stuff aside and try to get it done.
Yeah, and I think at some point it will get done. I mean, there are a lot of logistics. There's also insurance that they have to figure out, you know, some of the NHL teams, are they going to be okay? I mean, you know, it's McDavid that's talking about it, but if you're the Edmonton Oilers, are you going to risk the best player in the world getting hurt in that tournament? I mean, maybe insurance is the way to cover that, but there is a lot to figure out. But, you know, I think, you know, getting some of the political stuff out of the way is a big impediment too. I mean, the situation with Russia and Ukraine, that's a problem for the players being a part of a lot of athletic events, not just hockey, but it's hard to say that it's best on best if those players aren't there.
Right. And I know with Russia for sure. Yeah. You have a lot of Russian players in the NHL, but I know a lot of the international federations take players from the leagues that they play in those countries as well. So the KHL, you have the Swedish Hockey Federation, take players from there. Yes. It could be just NHLers, but then we're missing out on best players from other around the world too. So a lot of stuff that has to go into it, but it feels like there's opportunities that are being missed because we're missing out on guys whose careers are coming to an end, which we wish we could see on an international stage.
Yeah. And again, I mean, the opportunity to market Connor McDavid, who I think most people will agree is the best player in the world right now. You have him, you have Draisaitl, you have Austin Matthews, Jack Hughes. I left off that list before. I think Jack Hughes is one of the best players in the world also, and he's only going to get better. So to be able to market that to a global audience, absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. It'd be great. It'd be awesome. So hopefully one day we get it. I know they're shooting for 2025. Hopefully they can get it done. But right now all the focus really is on the Stanley Cup playoffs, teams getting in. Players getting ready because April 17th is going to be around the corner real soon.
Yeah, and you know, again, the last 8 to 10 games that are coming up are going to be, you know, the side stories with each one. There was always like, there's like, all right, this is the impact of this game. And then, there's two other side stories that develop out of that. And then you have teams watching the scoreboard, and you have, you know, certain things need to happen. And it's just such an exciting time of year. And then, of course, watching the matchups and seeing who's going to play who. And how, you know, how about Seattle getting, you know, making the playoffs for the first time? How good is that for that fan base?
Oh, it's great. Second year in existence, you're in the playoffs, you're going to experience playoff hockey. You know, who wins each division? What are the matchups going to be? You have all these play-in games that matter, seeding, exciting time of year. Everybody loves watching playoff hockey. It's right around the corner. And, you know, I'm just excited for it because every game down the stretch feels like it's the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Well, every game matters. And that's, you know, that's why you play these games. And, you know, again, the story within a story, as you're saying, you know, as a Devils fan who, and like you, Jimmy, have been following a team that really hasn't been relevant for a decade, this is pretty exciting. I can't wait to see what Jack Hughes does in the playoffs.
Me either. I cannot wait because we've seen what other big stars can do in the playoffs. Let's hope Jack can do the same thing. But this has been the Full Press NHL podcast. I'm Jim Berenger, the voice of Full Press Hockey, joined always by the newest member of Full Press Hockey, Bruce Eamon, Vox NHL AM FM analyst as well. Check it out, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Take it easy, everybody. Enjoy the stretch run to the Stanley Cup playoffs.